Well, hello there. Welcome to Hard to Say Goodbye. This is the show where our hosts, DJ Woldridge.
That's me.
And Trisha Hirschberger.
What's up?
Thanks for joining us. And Sam Basher are going to help you through one of the toughest times in your life. It's when your favorite show ends. We're going to be talking about Game of Thrones, specifically Season 1, Episode 9. DJ categorized this as a throwaway episode.
Yeah, so this is just a minor episode within the Game of Thrones canon. To be fair, I did miss the last 5 minutes.
There you go. Okay. But we'll play catch up. We'll fill you in.
Cool.
Yeah. So this is Episode 9, titled Baylor.
Yes.
Here's your quickie synopsis, that's air quotes, this is kind of lengthy. Mm-hmm. Varys visits Ned again in the dungeons and tells what Sansa did to save his life and advises him to accept the offer. Catelyn negotiates with the repulsive Lord Walder Frey to cross the river. The crossing of the river by Rob. I should have read this before I copied and pasted it.
Is this from IMDb?
That is correct. Crossing the river by Rob and his army, and Frey accepts, provided Arya and Rob marry with his children. Jon Snow receives a valuable sword from Mormont and lives a dilemma to make a choice of helping Rob or stay with the Night's Watch and to live with the consequences for the rest of his life. The infection in the wound of Drogo makes him weak, and Daenerys summons the witch to heal him. She tells that a life must be sacrificed in exchange, and she kills Drogo's horse. Lannister army attacks Rob's army and discovers that Rob lured them, leaving only 2,000 men behind, while 18,000 men have attacked Jaime's army and made him prisoner. Arya sees her father being brought chained in front of the crowd, and don't worry, I won't spoil it from
okay,
there. So
it works out fine.
Yeah, it works out fine, and the episode ends. Oh, but then Ned gets beheaded.
What?
Oh, this is a spoiler podcast.
Well, remember all those dicks that were wearing Ned's dead t-shirts after this? So after this came out, everyone was wearing these Ned's Dead t-shirts, and I was like, fuck you guys, for anyone that's not
caught up or hasn't seen
season one. Come on.
Fun fact. So Monica and I have been watching Sharp Objects on HBO. Did not love the finale of that, although it's still a show well worth watching. However, there was an article when we were trying to unpack the ending. There was an article published 3 days before like, hey, this is how the book ends. You think the show's going to end the same way? What are you doing? Of course it is. The rest of the show is lined up with the book. What are you doing? And so I'm glad this wasn't a thing before Game of Thrones, because going into this episode, I had no idea.
Yeah.
And I thought this show did a really excellent job of masking their twist, because to mask a twist well, I think, especially on TV, you need to set up a very plausible scenario for it. And the scenario is Ned, it's going to hurt a little bit, but Ned's going to suck up his pride, and he's going to lie and say that he the first time the whole show, he's going to lie. And he's going to say he did it. He betrayed him. And then he's going to be on the wall. And you're like, oh, shit. John
and
Ned.
How tragic.
Tragic, but also a cool direction for the show going, because it's going to be Ned and John on the wall. Mm-hmm. And they're going to be solving wall stuff, because we know stuff's going on there.
Wall mysteries.
Yeah, wall mysteries. And you're like, yeah, I could envision that show. And as an audience member, I don't know how it was as a book reader when you read the book for the first time as an audience member. Like, all the advertising was Ned on the chair. Ned's the main guy. Ned's our lead character, in my mind.
We didn't get... In the books, you don't get that it's Sean Bean, so you don't get the, like, oh, well, he's the big A-list talent of the show. We didn't get that, but you do certainly get that this entire series is about the Stark family.
Yeah.
You're like, and they're obviously the good guys, and everybody else is shitty, and Ned is king of the good guys, and, like, that's who you're rooting for the whole time. And it's definitely written in the books the same way that, like... When that happens, you're like, wait,
what?
No, wait, no. Like, there were a few moments reading the books that I literally took the book and threw it across the room. Like, I just shut it and threw it because I was so mad.
Yeah.
And that was the first one of those moments.
Yeah, because I thought when it happened, you know, because we've seen situations like this before, All Sims Lost characters in the thing. And I was just waiting for somebody to come out of the woodwork, like using future show lore.
Like a Robin Hood type in from the back shooting an arrow.
Right.
Exactly.
Anything.
Yeah, and so you're like, okay, we're ready for it to go down. And then the sword goes down. And I was like, I had to text a friend who read the books. I'm like,
Is this different?
Yeah, because watching it now, it's super sudden. Watching it now, you clearly see the sword go through his neck. But at the time, it's so sudden that you're like, could next week, like, Ned be fine?
I want to say people were, like, screen capping second by second and putting it online.
Yeah.
When it happened on the show.
And my buddy was like, yeah, that happened. And I was like, but you can't do that. You can't kill your main guy.
That's the correct feeling.
Yeah, that's against the rules. That's, mm-hmm. You can't do that. That's the reason I watched this show.
For me, I hopped into this last year, so this was...
I didn't know.
No, it was spoiled for you, though, because you had seen the later episodes, right?
I had, but also it was spoiled for me pretty early on, like with like the Red Wedding and stuff. Like a lot of big events. Besides,
well, people could shut up about it.
Besides, you know? What happens in battles, mm-hmm. I kind of knew roughly what happens, like Tyrion's fate in later seasons and stuff like that. Like I don't need to spoil that because if you're watching along with us, yay, that's cool. You still have a glimmer of hope every time you watch it, where you're like, why? I know what happens.
Know.
Like, but you think that like he's doing all the right things. Everybody's kind of on the same page, even though they're bastards. You think like, oh, whatever. The kid will do whatever. Like Joffrey will just kind of roll with this, and he'll be a shitty king. But we'll figure out. We'll strategize from the wall, and maybe like the North could be versus the South or something like that. Mm-hmm. It's like no. Joffrey wins. Everybody sucks. Forever and ever, amen.
Yeah, well, and it's interesting too. Something I really like that the show did is it's not so much that evil people being evil, it's Joffrey being evil, but being unpredictable, because they emphasize this in later episodes more. But like everybody had a plan, and this was their plan.
Yeah.
And clearly Joffrey was either not in on the plan or didn't care about the plan or whatever, because everybody makes it clear like nobody, the Lannisters didn't want Ned to get beheaded. Nobody other than Joffrey wanted to see Ned get beheaded.
Yeah.
And I like that. I like the fact, and it's interesting rewatching it that I never liked Joffrey, but it's now in these two episodes where you realize what a steaming pile of shit he is as a human being.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's not just annoying. He's awful.
Yeah.
He's awful.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you, like, talking about people who had different, who, like, kind of had a strategy for this, you have Varys visiting Ned again.
Yes.
Because it was like, when we were doing the rewatch for this, he visits him in the dungeon. That's how the episode before that starts, too. And mm-hmm. I was like, oh, wait, hold on. Yeah. But no, those scenes are so good, and that's when you get the idea that Varys is like, he's not, like, totally bad. He's just out for himself / the realm. He'll say the realm, but also let's be real. It is selfish.
He's
too.
Like, I need to survive, and this is how I survive.
He has a speech in one of the episodes we're going to discuss later today that kind of like cements that idea. Mm-hmm. But you know, if you thought everybody had it bad with Ned, all the people in the North or Westeros had it bad. Don't mm-hmm. worry, Danny's not doing so hot either.
No.
Yep.
Yeah, no, Drogo's, he got infected super quick, like super duper quick, which is...
It's because Miri Mazdur is an asshole.
Yay.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. I can't wait to talk about that in the next episode, because that's an interesting, mm-hmm. very Game of Thronesian complex set of situations mm-hmm. that compiled there. But yeah, Drogo, and it's also funny, Ned's the big death, but it is funny. This show just knocks off characters mm-hmm. so quick, because like Robert dies off camera. Mm-hmm. In between episodes, Khal Drogo's falling off his horse, like he's become super infected. Like it's and these are characters that you think like I thought we were going to be with these people for the long haul, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and I think it has to be done that way, where they're dropping off super fast and a lot of times
not seen.
Yeah,
because he's got 200 other characters to introduce.
Not only because he has introduced and will introduce so many characters, but also because of the point of view nature that the books are written.
Mm-hmm.
So many of the deaths we don't get to see because you hear about it from, like, for example, the big end scene of this episode where Ned's executed.
Yeah.
That's an Arya POV chapter.
Mm-hmm.
So you only get to see that from Arya's POV in the books, which I thought they did a really nice job of relating and redoing in the series.
Yeah.
But because of that, there's a lot of times that, like, no one that has a POV chapter, like, Lancel doesn't have a POV chapter. Who would have seen Robert's death that would have a POV chapter? Nobody. Mm-hmm. So that happens off camera.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Like, there's a lot of that was probably a big challenge for the showrunners and the writers to adapt into a television series, and I think they did a brilliant job. They only used it to build suspense, I think.
And actually, that's interesting, since it was Arya's point of view, and you see, it's really beautiful. It's tragic, but when Ned gets beheaded, it's only her looking up, and you see the birds fly away after that happened. But also, her entire mentality for like going forward about what her drive-in is in life and who she wants to kill. One of those people is related to her, but also she's not seeing how her Sansa's reacting to Joffrey's decision. So it's like, in her mind, she's just up there and on board with whatever's happening. And Arya doesn't know what Sansa's been trying to do, like, not even behind the scenes. Publicly, Arya's just not aware of what she's
and also
been doing
to fight
for. They're
children at the time, so it's harder for them to empathize with what the other one is going.
Well, and Arya and Sansa
through.
Hate each other at this point. Yeah, sibling rivalry is at its peak right now.
Yeah, so it's not it's a tough episode for the Starks, and it's a tough episode for Dany. Is it working out for anybody? Is anybody having a good
episode?
It
is John. Mm-hmm. Hey, John up at the wall gets Longclaw.
He does.
That's exciting.
I love that sword, man. And that sword gets the best payoff in about six seasons.
But isn't it crazy when he gives it to him and he's like, this was supposed to go to my son Jorah, but whatever, it's yours now. Yeah. You're like, oh, sorry, Jorah.
Sorry.
Sorry, bud.
Still like you a little bit.
It's still a cool sword.
And we get to find out that Aemon's a Targaryen.
Mm-hmm.
That was cool.
That's a cool bomb drop.
He's old
episode.
As shit.
Yeah.
Because he's old
he's
as
like,
shit.
My so, brother, the Mad King's great grandfather. Like, whoa.
So, yeah, he's an uncle to Aerys Targaryen. Yeah. Which, are we not spoiling later things?
No, you're good. You're good. Light spoiler, yeah. No.
Okay, which, when the parentage theories are proven true much later, it actually means he's having a conversation with his great-great nephew at that moment, which is weird to think about. Mm-hmm. You're like, oh man, you guys don't know it, but... Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you might never, but we'll find out
it
in future
seasons. It also means that Aemon is Daenerys's great-uncle.
Okay.
He's so old. Yeah. Yeah. He's still walking around and just puttering about.
This is also Tyrion's first battle-ish.
Hammer to the back of the head or whatever he passes out.
Which we'll talk about it in the book to show comparison. I'm curious if that's how that goes down in the book.
Mm-hmm. It is not.
Interesting. But I like that. It's also Tyrion's first war speech, and I forgot how good he is at those. Because he gets another one in season two that's real dope.
It is really good. And but I also like that he skips it. He doesn't even get to experience any of it. Nope. And Bronn's also there. So
and also, this is where we first introduce Shay, which is super late in the game. I didn't realize she
showed
up.
You think this is late?
Because it's the second to last episode in the first season. And her importance to Tyrion plays a really big role in the next few episodes. And it's like, but we just introduced her. Jeez.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the show moves quick.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we also learn about Tyrion. Or is that the next episode when we learn more about Tyrion's? I think I'm ahead of myself.
No, in this episode, Bronn and Tyrion and Shay play the drinking game.
They do. Gotcha. Cool. Yeah,
they do. So he gives the Tysha story. Which is a bit different.
Yes,
a bit different.
We'll discuss that in
the bonus episode.
At this point, it's only a bit different. Mm-hmm. There's stuff that happens later that gives you more of that story in the books that just never happens in the series.
Stay tuned for our book to show comparison episode on patreon.com/hardtosaygoodbye.
Yes, I have a lot to say about Tysha.
Mm-hmm. But I liked that story, and it was absolutely it was terrifying and heartbreaking.
Mm-hmm.
And Jaime is. Is he kind of a good guy? What's your interpretation? You guys have watched the show 30 times now. Is he kind of a good guy in this scenario, or is he not because it's all a lie, like deep down, like it doesn't matter?
That is a question that I think remains to be seen. Jaime has a lot of real shit qualities about him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Especially now.
And he seems to not have any moral compass. Mm-hmm. And then you get slapped upside the head with Jaime suddenly wanting to do the right thing.
Yeah, I think the show does a really good job of depicting, for the most part, people as people.
Agreed.
And people are complicated, and they can do good things for bad reasons and bad things for good reasons. And then these couple of episodes really home in the idea of doing all of the right things and it still everything goes bad. Making all the right calls and still, because Dany, at least as an audience member for me, she's making all the right calls. Drogo has a wound. Drogo should get that wound clean or it's going to get infected. And there's these outlying factors that she's not taking into consideration.
And good job, Dany, stopping that lady from being raped.
Exactly.
Like, there's a lot of things and that were like, I'm on board with this.
And there's outside factors that she's not, that me as a viewer did not think about. Right. Her as a person did not think
it
about.
It totally makes sense.
And the train derails. So I think Jamie's a person and he's done some, clearly we've seen, very awful things. Mm-hmm. But obviously we've met his dad. Mm-hmm. Not the best patriarch. he's no Ned.
Yeah.
And that informs him as a person, and his actions inform him as a person. And I think as he gets new information, he grows, which I think is sometimes the best you can ask of somebody.
Yeah, but it Well, we can. Yeah, we'll talk about it.
There's a lot of characters on the show that start off as what would be considered straight up villains, and then by the end, specifically Jamie and the Hound, it's like it becomes more complicated.
Yeah, yeah. No, it just it's because we also know that he still respects Tyrion. We just haven't seen that really on screen.
Yeah, their brotherly relationship is really interesting.
It's interesting. It's complicated.
It's significantly stronger than Tyrion and Cersei's relationship.
Yeah, which in season two, there's a lot of good scenes between them. But no, like it there's part of it where it's like, no, this is fucked up. But it's like. Hopefully there's some part of love that's in this, or if it's not, this is just mocking and he's just being an awful person, which is fully capable of doing that too. No. So
dude, just wait.
Yeah.
Just wait until we get to the continuation of the Tysha story that never happens in the series.
Oh, good. It's probably not good. Speaking of not good.
Oh, my.
R.I.P. Drogo's horse that just explodes with blood like a super soaker in that bed.
Yeah, that's a really intense scene when one, we get to see, I feel like it's a response to, it's like a call and response situation to Bronn's fight at the Moon Door, where Bronn is successful because he doesn't have armor on. He's able to move more loosey-goosey. Mm-hmm. As they say in Westeros. Mm-hmm. Whereas Jorah fights one of the riders and he's fully armored and that saves his life because there's one time where he comes in with the hook sword and it gets caught and Jorah fucks that guy up.
Yeah. Well, I would say the difference between those two fights is Bronn is used to fighting someone with armor on and none of the Dothraki are.
Yeah, which could be a problem when you go
which
over
is why
Westeros.
You go for the middle and then whoops.
Yeah. And so Jorah fucks that guy up, and then Jorah takes him into the screaming, scary horror tent, which is not what I would have done.
He's probably fine.
Yeah, I think I would have booked it in the other direction if it were me.
Speaking of cool people introduced to the show, Walder Frey, Filch, good to see you.
Yeah.
Is
Walder in this episode?
Yeah, okay. That's when we get the deal with
Arya, right, with Catelyn.
Yeah,
which doesn't come back to bite anybody in the ass.
No, everything's fine, and he definitely isn't a creep, big old creep.
By the way,
is
hindsight.
He incest is Wincest, or is he just fondling people like a little
bit? No, incest is Wincest.
Really? Are you I confuse him sometimes with Craster, who's definitely incest is Wincest. I think he's just picking young women from his kingdom and knocking them up.
Oh,
I thought they were granddaughters.
We'll have to fact check that because I think they're granddaughters and nieces. And stuff
that was not
well.
My understanding.
Let's do a cool Google search really quick.
Let's do a quick Google search.
But interesting thing with in these episodes that we're discussing today, when Catelyn's like, hey, you can't trust this person, maybe listen to her. Because there's twice in those episodes where she's like, hey, you can't trust that guy. And then Rob's like, what choice do I have? Which Rob is right. But maybe it turns out don't. Maybe don't trust those people.
Well.
Yeah.
Or just... If you do trust him, don't fuck him over later.
Yeah, true. That applies to one of the people. That's an intense deal, by the way. Can we cross your bridge? Only if half of your children marry my children.
We see his motivation is, you guys have always spat on me.
Yeah.
Screw you. I'm going to intermingle my blood so much with your blood that now we're on the same level.
Ew.
I think if I were Rob, I would have murdered his ass and then taken the bridge.
But to be fair, if he allowed him to pass... And the Lannisters are seated at King's Landing, then they would have been like, well, you helped out a traitor, so let me just murder your whole family.
I'm just looking at Craster's whole setup. I don't think, different person. Sorry. I'm thinking of Mr. Walder Frey's setup. Don't think it would have been too hard to murder his ass and take his bridge from him.
As far as I can tell, Frey has not committed incest, just dating very, very
really?
Creepily.
Okay.
He's just an awful dude.
And has gone
dude.
Through eight wives.
Yeah, he's not a good dude.
Is on his eighth wife.
Got it.
Yeah, there's a full list of all the incest happening in Game of Thrones. on this.
Don't
you just
worry.
Google Game of Thrones incest?
Internet's
Walder
got
Frey
your back.
Walder Frey incest.
And there's no signs, but he does have some shaky relationships.
That guy.
Now that's all on my brain.
That guy.
But yes, I actually have a question here.
Read it, would you, Sam?
Uh-huh. This is for Sansa. It's from JMR 1022. Do you think Sansa got... we've actually brought this up on the show before, but I do like the question. Do you think Sansa got... too much hate from fans due to the hype of Jon and Arya? I know this horse has been beaten to death, but I always held her in high regard. One thing I'd change is her being more protective of Rickon, the Forgotten Stark child, as that might have shown her being empathetic before the whole Joffrey shenanigans.
Time out. Are we talking about Sansa or Catelyn?
Sansa. Yeah, Sansa. Because people didn't like her.
No.
Yeah,
I remember people not liking Sansa, but when you're talking about attitudes towards Jon and Arya. And go ahead, keep going. And Bran and Rickon. I'm like, does Sansa ever interact with Bran and Rickon?
No.
Does anybody interact with Rickon?
Just with Rickon. Is her being one thing I'd change is her being more protective of Rickon, the Forgotten Stark child, as they might have shown her being empathetic before the whole Joffrey shenanigans and being the damsel in distress.
But I don't think she is empathetic then. And I think that's the point.
No,
I don't.
Not.
I think she got the right amount of hate in the first season, but she's grown a lot as a character, and I think most people acknowledge that.
That's hard. Yeah, that's hard for me to answer because I had already read so far into the books by the time the first season came out that I was like, leave Sansa alone. Mm. God, she's gonna go through some shit. Okay.
Yeah.
If like, if you wanted to make Rickon a little bit more interesting, maybe that would have been a tactic. Because
I agree with that.
I didn't remember his name until I just
I think in hindsight, you could have written Rickon out right out of the show, and it wouldn't have changed a damn thing.
No way. What? You don't remember.
Show?
There's a pretty big scene.
That doesn't matter because we hadn't seen Rickon for years at that point.
Oh, it totally matters. You don't think that impacts the Battle of the Bastards at all?
It didn't impact my watching it. It didn't change my opinions of the situation
Sam,
at all.
I was upset.
I was very upset.
I was upset.
Yeah,
I thought it was horrific.
I thought it was a false way to add stakes.
Interesting. But
that's way in the future.
When we rewatch it, I'm interested to see if you feel the same way.
Like I said, Rickon's my favorite character. So I'm
Team Rickon all the way.
Team Rickon. I would have loved him getting more screen. Who cares?
I mean, also. That's not till next episode. I was getting ahead of myself. Talking about Rickon.
But episode 9 definitely had some uh-ohs, some scary moments. And also, it ended with Arya being taken away by the gentleman.
Yorin.
Yeah. Yorin, thank you.
Who works for the Night's Watch.
Nisi's Deus. Definitely didn't know his name. Didn't know his name watching all these episodes. A lot of blank spaces in my notes because I was like, long black hair man, not John, but he is Night's Watch. Yeah. He's older, but not one of the people that taught. Okay.
Yorin.
So we see that's where it ends.
Yorin,
but I'm
Bajorianson.
There it is. I am excited to talk about episode 10 because that's how we round it out. And season 2 is already off to so many starts with making me feel uncomfortable, so I'm excited for that. But guys, let us know what you thought of episode 9 in the comments down below, and tweet at us at Sam Basher,
at DJ Talks Trash,
at That Girl Trish. No, I am the girl.
There you go, and we'll see you guys on episode 10. We love you. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.